I have to admit, I had a nice long introduction to what I'm going to say today. But I'm going to cut that down, because otherwise we might be here for a long time. And you already know how I am, you know, I get a little... But at any rate, let's ask the Lord to be with us while we study His Word and see what He has for us. Father, we're so thankful that You made not only a way for us to be in fellowship with You, to walk with You in righteousness and holiness, but You also gave us the ability to have Your Word, to be in it, to study it, to hide it in our hearts, so that when the tough time comes, we have a harbor to anchor our ship and our soul in, Lord. We have Your Word, which tells us of the great thing Jesus did for us, giving Himself, sacrificing His body, His blood, His very life, so that we can have that relationship with You. Lord, we thank You that the Holy Spirit was given to us to help guide us and direct us, and that we have His power and we have His unction, Lord, to follow You and do those things You would call us to do. Even though sometimes, Lord, we hesitate to do it and we don't want to do it. But Lord, if it's Your will, we sacrifice ourselves in the sense that we humble ourselves and do what You want us to do. Lord, help us always to do that. Help us today, Lord, to realize the importance of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to realize the importance of following Him through being obedient to the Holy Spirit, that we might bring honor and glory to Your name, Jesus, and that we might even help bring someone into fellowship with You. Lord, that is what You want for Your believers, to go and tell. We don't have to do the saving, Lord. You did all of that. All we have to do is go and tell of the great love, the great sacrifice that You gave for every person that ever comes into this world, Lord. You want us all to be with You, even though we all know that's probably not going to happen. But Lord, You offered it to everyone, and we know that Your blood is powerful enough to wipe away all the sins of the world. We thank You this morning, Lord. Be with us now as we study Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Did Jesus say He is God? In His Word, did He come right out and say, I am God? Would you please share with me the scripture where He said that? He spoke those words, I am God. You keep looking, see if you can find it. There are people in this world right now, even though with all the history, all the truth that we've had from God's Word, all of those who've studied it and made movies about it and are on the radio talking about God and Jesus and His salvation, that there are still people who don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe that He came to take away our sin. They don't believe that He can bridge the gap between our sin and the love of Jesus, the love of God, right? They're just lost because they won't believe it. There's even denominations, whole denominations that deny the deity of Christ. It's very important to know that Jesus is God. And I'm going to give you some reasons to know why. Some deny that Jesus is God. They make the claim that Jesus never directly said that He is God. Is it true? Many believe it is that He said He was God. Jesus, did He ever come right out and claim to be God in historical scripture? He didn't say He was God. He showed He was God. He demonstrated it, right? The Bible never records Jesus saying the precise words, I am God. This does not mean that Jesus never claimed to be God, as I just said. Through His actions, through His works, He showed that He was God. Amen? For He is God. In the Gospel of John, Chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Well, what does that mean?
If they're one, he's God also, isn't he?
He is God also. We need only look at the Jewish reaction to his statement. What did the Jews do when he said that? They were God's people. How did they respond to his statement that he compared himself and claimed to be God? Here's how they responded. They started looking for stones. They wanted to stone him to death. They wanted to kill him because he made that claim. They were going to stone him on the spot for that very reason, saying, this is what they said to him, "You, a mere man, make yourself God?" That was totally against their belief in the Scripture. The Jews understood exactly what Jesus was claiming, equality with Jehovah, God himself. That didn't go very well with them. When Jesus declared, "I and the Father are one," he was saying that he and the Father are of one nature and essence. They are God, creator of all things, the self-existent ones. They were never created. They always existed. What did God tell Moses? "I am that I am. I've always been here. I'll always be here. No one created me, and no one can be greater than I am." Amen?
Amen.
Amen. John 8:58. John 8:58 is another example of Jesus declaring, "Verily, verily, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." That was how they knew God. He was the great I am, the self-existent one. This is a reference to Exodus 3:14, chapter 3 and verse 14, when God revealed himself as "I am who I am." Should Moses have gone on and questioned him further? I don't think so. I think he was on God's holy ground there to begin with. The Jews who heard Jesus speak this statement understood that he was applying God's identity, his essence, and God's name to himself. "I am God on earth." They just couldn't accept that. They responded by taking up stones to kill him for blasphemy, believing they were following the Mosaic law. Well, it's in Leviticus, you know, the Mosaic law. It says, Leviticus 24 and verse 16, "Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death." Now, what if that rule is in effect today? We'd be having lots of funerals, wouldn't we? We'd be having lots of time in church. I don't know, maybe that'd be a... Well, now, never mind. So they were saying, "You can't be God." Although he went on to prove it, didn't he? Is Jesus God? His followers believed this and declared him to be God. Do you read the Scripture? Do you read where the disciples and the apostles were worshiping him and declaring him to be God? John's gospel reiterates the fact of the deity of Jesus. He says in his word, "The Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who are those verses speaking of? Who are those words speaking of? Yes, Jesus Christ. The Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. These verses clearly indicate that Jesus is God in the flesh. God come to earth in the fleshly body of a man. Paul in Acts 20 and verse 28 instructed the Ephesian elders to, and I quote, "be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." God bought his church with his own blood. Who bought the church with his own blood? Who shed their own blood? who went to the cross and died, giving up their own blood and their body as well as the sacrificial Lamb of God. Of course, you know it was Jesus Christ. That puts him up on the level of God himself. But the Jews didn't want to recognize that. This verse declares that God purchased his church with his own blood, which came from the body of who? Where'd that blood come from? Jesus. It came from the body of Jesus as God Almighty on earth in a human body. Listen, it was the Holy Spirit who authored the Scripture. The Holy Spirit gave this Scripture to holy men of old who wrote it down. They didn't think of it. They weren't writing their thoughts. They were writing what God told them. You know, the Holy Spirit's God also, right? That's where we get the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's called the Godhead. That's God Almighty when they all work together for our benefit. Amen. Do you know that's when they all work together? Amen. It's for our benefit. Of course, they get the glory, rightly so. But I'm happy to know that God Almighty is on my side.
Amen.
Remember when you were a kid out on the sand lot and you were picking up teams for baseball or a sandlot football game? What'd you do? You looked for the biggest guy, the heaviest hitter, the one that could do the job, right? That's who I want on my team. That's who God is. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And they're all for us, not against us. Amen? God's Scripture states that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by God. That's in 2 Peter 1:21. Those words of Scripture were recorded for our instruction today. Where will you find them? Right here. You want to know what God wants for your life? There it is. Black and white. All you have to do is find the time in your busy life to get into it and read it. I thank you for taking the time this morning to come out and hear God's Word. He is for you, not against you. He wants you to be with Him always. He gave His life, shed His blood for that to happen. Oh, we can never forget that. We can never forget that. These words that I'm telling you of Scripture were recorded for our instruction. That's what this book is for, to teach us about God and God's ways and what He did for us and what He's still doing for us today. If you're a believer, you're not walking in your own power. You're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Problem is, we don't call on Him. When you call on the name of Jesus, you activate the Holy Spirit to get going and show you the way. And then what do you have to do? You have to humble yourself. And you have to do what He shows you to do. If you want God working in your life for your benefit, that's what you must do. You must humble yourself to that. After all, isn't that what Jesus did? He humbled Himself to the cross. He humbled Himself to the cross, gave His life, because that was the plan of the Godhead. We have this plan. God's going to die for the people of earth. And Jesus, you're going to be the form of God that's going to have to go down there, take on humanity, and shed your blood for their forgiveness. He had to humble Himself to that. He had to leave glory and be a person. Jimmy in Geneva this morning, they had to humble themselves. They had to go into baptismal in front of all of you to make this statement, I'm trusting Jesus for my eternal life. I'm giving it all up for Him. His will, not mine. That's what it means when you go under the water. You're dying to yourself. Oh, you don't literally die like Jesus did. But you're spiritually saying, it's not my will anymore. It's not my desire anymore. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do what He leads me to do and bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ and my Father God. That is what being a believing, obedient Christian means. You do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. Amen? And so you live a life pleasing Him. The Holy Spirit, which I just spoke of, He lives in us. He lives in us. And He tells us in 2 Peter 1:21, the Holy Spirit states this, holy men of God, that's what I'm trying to say, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the guide for writing the Scripture. The Holy Spirit is also God, part of the Godhead. Those words of Scripture were recorded for our instruction today. If you want to know about God, don't take another man's word for it. Open the Bible and read it. Then you will know firsthand the truth. Know the truth firsthand. You don't even have to believe me this morning what I'm saying. I encourage you, open this book. Read it, study it, memorize it, live by it.
It is good.
It is your lifeline to the Lord Jesus Christ, at least to the Holy Spirit if you'll humble yourself. Is Jesus God? His followers believed this and they declared Him to be God. They said, yes, He is God. The disciple Thomas addressed Jesus as my Lord and my God. The disciples, the apostles were following Him. Jesus does not correct him, but instead He accepts that worship. He accepts it. What does that tell us? It's true. It's true. I accept the title. I am God. I am the one who bought the church with my own blood. I am the one who gave myself in obedience to the Father. I am the one who guided the Holy Spirit, gave you the Holy Spirit so He could record Scripture so you would have it always in your life. Thomas called Him. And Titus encourages to wait for the coming of who? Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, Titus calls Him God in his word that he recorded. 2 Peter 1:1, Peter writes this, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God. The righteousness of our God. But He doesn't stop there. He says, and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus, not God the Father. He's talking about the Son who came and gave Himself. The true author of Hebrews points out that the Son of God is called God. Jesus is God. Well, why do we always call Him the Son of God? Why do we call Him the Son of God? Because that's how we can relate. That's how we can relate. It's just like a family. If you're a child in that family, you relate to a father figure who has the authority. That's true of this relationship as well. Only in this case, all that authority is shared. It's a shared authority with one person of the Godhead coming forth at the appropriate time to do a special work on our behalf. In the Old Testament, God the Father was in the lead. He was laying the groundwork, choosing a people through whom His Savior could be born, and giving us the Scriptures that would help us to believe and know who that person would be. And then in the Gospels, Jesus came forward and took the lead. He lived on earth, lived like a human being, but lived perfectly without sin. Why did He have to do that? Only a sinless, perfect sacrifice could cleanse us of our sin and make us righteous enough to be with God the Father. That's where we're going. We're going to be with the Godhead in glory. Amen? And so all those things were done for us, on our behalf. And the Scriptures point this out. The Son is called God in the Old Testament. It says this in the book of Hebrews. But about the Son, He, the Father, you got to know the didactics here to get it right. He, the Son, He, the Father, says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom." Who's the king? Jesus is the king. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords because of what He did on Calvary. Amen? He is who the Father is talking about. He, the Son, will have the throne. It will last forever. It will be a scepter of justice. And in His kingdom, it will be righteous and there'll be no end to it. It's eternal. You can be there. You can be there. You have the choice. Will I trust in Jesus and what He did on Calvary? That's what you have to believe to be in God's kingdom, to be a child of God. A lot of people say, well, look at all the children of God in the world. All the people in the world are not children of God. They are children of the flesh. We want to be, need to be, children of the Spirit of God. And there's only one way you can get that title. That's by trusting Jesus and having faith in Him, in what He did on Calvary. God giving His life, shedding His blood for our forgiveness. So the Father Himself refers to Jesus as God. God, God. Jesus Christ is God. Let there never be any doubt. Several times in Scripture, Jesus receives worship. Listen, if you're not God, you're not to receive worship. You're to stop that and tell them, don't worship me, I'm not worthy. It happens. People want to give worship to humans. You see this in the sports world all the time. And they accept it. I hope one day they find out and make a commitment. Matthew 14:33, the story of Jesus. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Well, what was happening? They were taking a boat across the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. That sea was noted for all the terrible storms that came up, sinking ships and drowning sailors. And it happened to them. Jesus was sleeping in the front of the boat. They got all excited. They thought they were going to sink and drown, so they went up and awoke Him. And He had to take care of business, but He also chided them a bit. "Don't you realize who I am? Call on Me, and I can help you." And when He did that, when He calmed the storm, they began to worship Him. In Matthew 28:17-18 is where you'll find that. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." What does that make Him? Who controls heaven and earth? God. God does. They're talking about Jesus there. Also in Luke 24:52 and John 9:38, you can check those scriptures. Jesus didn't rebuke them for worshiping Him at that point. He wanted His apostles to know, yes, you're on the right track. I am God. You call Me the Son of God so you can understand where I came from, but I am equal with God in essence. In these scriptures, Jesus didn't rebuke them He allowed the worship. He was strongly inferring his claim to deity, being God, but not directly stating it to them. Is Jesus God?
Yes.
We believe it. The reason Jesus must be God, you know what it is, don't you? The reason he must be God is because if what we did this morning, Geneva and Jimmy participating in that baptism, if he's not God, what we did is totally worthless. And we are totally deceived. I've got a long history of God himself right here saying, you're not deceived. You're on the right track. You can live for Jesus. You can be guided by the Holy Spirit. You can have a life that's God-honoring and pleasing if you'll follow my word and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is God. You know that he is. The most important reason that Jesus must be God is that if he is not God, his death would have not been sufficient to pay the penalty for your sins and mine and the sins of the world. If he's not God, we're still totally lost. Do you believe that? We're still totally lost? I don't. I'm putting my full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I want to see him. I want to be with him in glory.
Amen.
And that's the only way I'm going to get there. So praise God. He, Scripture says, he is the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Yes, the blood of Christ was sufficient to forgive all the sin of every person who ever lived on earth, who ever will live on earth. What's the catch? They have to trust him. They have to accept him. They have to say by faith, I believe that he did what he did because he is who he said he was. Did he prove it? I think he did. There's testimony of him being crucified on a cross. We have no idea how gory that whole process is. You talk about a bag of bones. When someone hangs on a cross for a few hours, all their bones come out of socket. And they're only held together by the flesh that they're inside. It's a horrible, excruciating death. Here's how bad it was. The Romans who invented that made a law that no Roman could be crucified. Yeah, it was their idea, and they came up with that. Oh, by the way, none of us are going to suffer that. We get to be exempt. He is the sacrifice for our sin, the sacrifice that saves us. That's in 1 John 2:2. A created being could not pay the infinite penalty required to forgive sin committed against a holy and righteous God. Anybody who was born naturally, you can't fit the bill. You can't do what Jesus did. Because we are created beings. Jesus is not a created being. He was not born through the natural process of childbirth. Read the scripture, it'll tell you. That's why we worship him as God, because he is God, and he was able to pay the penalty for our sin, to forgive us. Forgive us. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus forgives us. Then why aren't all people saved? Because they won't accept that forgiveness. He did the work. All we have to do is trust in him that he did it. Some people don't want to hear that. We talked about that. We heard about that today in Bible study. Jesus is eternal. He's infinite. He's the God of creation. He was able to pay the infinite penalty to free all of us from sin. As the Holy One of God, Jesus, being sinless, could take on the sins of the world. Not just you, me, not just all the people in this church, not all the people of Florida, not just all the people in the United States of America, but every single person ever, or who will ever be. He took all of that sin and made it right with the Father so that we could be with them in glory. Amen?
Amen.
He made him, God made him, Jesus. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the only way you get into glory. You must be perfectly sinless and righteous. We can't do that on our own. You can even be sitting here in church and be sinning like crazy because your mind is on something else that's not focused on God. You have to have your mind stayed on Him. As God in human flesh, Jesus could die and be resurrected, proving His deity and victory over sin and death. That's why we praise the Lord. That's why we worship Him. Well, you might say to me, well, Brother Dan, you know, there's plenty of people who've died and come back to life. How long did they live after that? Are they still living today? Will they live forever? In the flesh? In this body? No. Everyone who's died and been resuscitated and came back to life died eventually or will die eventually. Jesus is the only person who lived and lives eternally because He's God. The provision of Christ for our salvation is sufficient only if He is God. That's it. If He's not God, we're done. We're just like everybody else. But you can rejoice because He is God. He is God. Is Jesus God? Yes. God the Father and the Holy Spirit both declared that Jesus is God. They both declared Him. And they actually did that at one time together at the baptism of Jesus when He rose. What did God the Father say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And how did the Holy Spirit appear? He appeared as a dove. I'm not saying it was a dove, but it looked like a dove. It acted like a dove. It reminded them of a dove. And it came down and landed on Jesus. Do you see the Godhead working together there? Declaring the Savior has come. Your Savior has come. His followers, not just the Father and the Holy Spirit, but His followers also declared Him to be God. His resurrection declares Him to be God. Yes, Jesus is God incarnate. He's in the flesh. He was in the flesh. He's gone back now to His throne in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the eternal Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, whoever and who will be forever. Revelation 1:8 declares this, God's Word, the Holy Spirit giving God's Word declares this, I am, Jesus speaking, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come.
Amen.
The Almighty God. Jesus is God, our Savior, as declared in 2 Peter 1:1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, Jesus is referred to as God. 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 Hear me now. If you've drifted off and heard nothing else I've said today, hear me now. If we truly believe Jesus Christ is our God, our Redeemer, we must, without excuse, declare the salvation that exists in Him to everyone we meet. Jesus, as God, gave us this commandment. Go and tell. Go and make disciples in His name. Tell them about Him. Tell them about His love, His mercy, His grace, His salvation. It's the only place you can get that kind of love and grace and salvation. Declare it. Declare the salvation in Him to all we meet, taking no chance of excluding anyone from being redeemed, saved, born again. You say you love your family? Are you telling them to trust Jesus? Are you living a life that would say, I trust Jesus? Are you being an example to them? So that maybe they'll even come to you and say, how come you seem different? How come you seem different? Because I'm living for Jesus. That's what Geneva and Jimmy said today. I'm going to start living for Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to be my priority from now on.
Amen.
The question is, will you commit yourself to that life? Will you commit yourself starting to do this today? This is a serious thing. This is something very serious that I'm asking you to do. You don't make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ on a whim. That's why I'm not going to ask you to come up to the altar and commit your life. No, I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. I want you to meditate on it. But I don't want you to forget about it. You want the abundant life?
It is.
You only get that by committing yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and living for Him.
Amen. Amen.
Consider it. Ponder it. Pray about it. Be ready to declare that you'll do it. Not right now. Because I want you to take it serious. I want you to commit to declaring Jesus Christ as Savior to all you meet. In the coming days, if I say to you, are you committed yet? This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about committed to come to church. Because when you're committed to the Lord, that should be a given. You need to be fellowshipping with the saints. People who have the same mindset of you. That's why we're happy here. That's why we're joyful here. Because we all trust in Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's here. And He's encouraging us to do that. And we're giving into it. We love the joy of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to enjoy the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the abundant life. That doesn't mean you're going to have everything your little heart desires. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having perfect peace with God Almighty and fellowshipping with Him. And whatever happens in this world, you'll be okay with it. Because you know you have a relationship with God Almighty.
One day.
Amen.
Are you committed yet?
Amen.
This is what I'm asking you. Are you declaring the redemption of Jesus to everyone you meet?
Amen.
You see, I'm asking you to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Put feet in action on your mindset, your commitment to the Lord. That's what I'm asking you to do. Declare the redemption of Christ to everyone you meet. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. I'm overwhelmed. I'm feeling overwhelmed in my spirit. Just the thought of sharing Jesus with everyone I meet almost seems to be overwhelming, but I know it's not, because the Holy Spirit is in me and with me, empowering me and drawing me to share the truth of salvation with all those I meet. Lord, give not only me, but everybody here the holy unction to speak your name. Even though we know, Lord, there's going to be negative responses, Lord, there will also be positive responses. There'll be encouragement from those we encounter, those who are already believing and those who want to believe, those who are looking for it. We're seeing that they're out there looking for it, Lord. We're seeing it through the example of Charlie Kirk and what happened to him, Lord, and all the young people that are responding to Christ because of that tragedy. But Lord, you were the ultimate tragedy. You made the ultimate sacrifice. You came to earth to save us. Help us, Lord, to share that. Be committed to sharing that with all that we meet. I pray that we'll do it. I pray we'll all do it. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. It's in His name I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.